Welcome aboard. You are listening to the Home Base Travel Agent Show.
I'll be seeing you.
This is show number 189 for January 11th, 2008.
This heart of mine embraces all day through.
The music in this podcast is from the CD Flamingo by Lucianne Evans and Tom Coppola.
Carousel, the chestnut trees, the
and I think you'll recognize that name because later in the show, we have Lucianne Evans coming aboard as a special guest.
Summer's day, in everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you.
You can find Lucianne's music at cdbaby.com. cdbaby.com. Check it out.
I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
Well, once again, welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. This is Barry Kantz. I'm your host for the show. And coming up here very soon is Laureen Romero, along with Lucianne Evans. And what's going to happen today in the co-hosted segment is Lucianne is a new travel agent, and she's going to turn the tables on Laureen and I and ask us the questions. These are questions that are going to come from a new travel agent. You know, questions many of you may have and would like to have answered. So stay tuned for that great co-hosted segment coming up here shortly. If you want to learn more about the show, go over to the Home Base Travel Agent website, which is at hometravelagent.net. That's hometravelagent.net, and you can find all the archives of the previous shows there. Also, you can sign up for the newsletter, and what the newsletter is, it's the show notes, and the show notes will be delivered to you via email right to your email box. Very convenient, and that's why that option is there. I want to make this as convenient as possible for you, and I hope you take advantage of the links in the show notes because quite often those links are to interesting articles that relate to the travel business. So if you're joining us for the very first time, you know, welcome aboard. And what we're all about is talking about the travel business. Laureen and I are here to help you market, help you build, do whatever we can to make you a successful travel agent or make you successful in the travel business. And we hope every show brings you a little nugget of information that you can use to accomplish what you want to accomplish in your business. Now, we're not here to sell you anything. This program is not an infomercial for anything. This is strictly two travel agents here talking about the travel business with the goal of helping you. If there's an advertisement in this show, you'll clearly know that. I'll tell you that or just by the text of, or by the way that I read or talk about the information, it will be an advertisement. You can tell that. And if we get something on the show that sounds like an advertisement and it isn't, I will specifically say, you know, this is just a product or a service that we're endorsing, and we're not being paid to do that. And I'll tell you that. You know, this is all up front. This is not an infomercial. I don't want it to be an infomercial. What I want it to be is what it's always been, and that's a place where travel agents, home-based travel agents, or anyone interested in the travel business can come and get some valuable information. And hopefully, you will have an opportunity to share valuable information with us on the show, just as Lucianne Evans, Deb Gronsky, and many other travel agents who listen to the show, who have come onto the show and shared their interests and expertise with us. So maybe that's something that can happen in the future. And I know Laureen is looking at some interesting guests out there coming up, so stay tuned for some great shows coming up in 2009. Well, with that, what I want to do is get right into the co-hosted segment of the show. I hope you enjoy it. And keep in mind that Lucianne Evans coming into the show is the artist that's performing the music on this particular show today. And she has an amazing voice. And I think when listening to her talk, you can tell that she's just great. You know, I can't say enough about her talent. Anyhow, I hope you enjoy the co-hosted segment of the show. And here it goes. Welcome, everybody, to the Home Base Travel Agent Show, another co-hosted segment here coming right up with Laureen Romero. And as I promised a couple shows ago, I think it was, we have Lucianne Evans back, and she's going to turn the tables on us. And that's coming right up. Laureen, would you introduce Lucianne?
Absolutely. To refresh people's memories, we had Lucianne come on our show just recently, and she talked about a niche market of jazz music and kind of how you differentiate some of your clients about what kind of jazz do they like and what the difference is. I know I learned a lot from the session. And as Barry hinted, she's going to turn the tables on us. She's going to ask us some questions. And gosh darn it, since we're recording, you know, if we don't know the answers, Barry, we're going to look really silly. But that's okay, because that's how podcasts are. They're not cool and slick. They're just full of real people like us.
Down to earth.
And, you know, okay, Lucianne, come on, turn the tables on us.
Okay, well, then, first of all, I really am new into the market, and I just haven't had the actual experience. I have dialogue certain things. So I want to know, when you're an independent, how do you advertise yourself? Do you mainly go out with word of mouth, or is sometimes you get a catchy phrase in a newspaper ad or something? And what's the first thing? What is the best area of advertising in terms of, in your opinion?
Barry, do you want me to catch this ball?
Let me start out, and I can start out in a general way, and Laureen, maybe you can be more specific with what you've done, but generally, what the formula is that you have to get people to know you, then you have to get people to like you, and then you have to get people to trust you, and then they'll buy from you, and if you do a good job at customer service, they'll refer to you, and that's the know, like, trust, buy, refer formula that I like to talk about once in a while. And I think that's essential. And the way you get people to know you is if you have a niche market like jazz festivals, then you would hang out where people hang out that have an interest in jazz and let them get to know you. And I think, Lucianne, you have a leg up on that particular market because you've been involved in the jazz music world for a while.
Right. And I can probably count on my hand the amount of people that I would probably be able to book on a cruise in my own community. I'm not in a big city. The other thing is that probably, and at the same time, I think that probably if getting to know people and like people, does that involve also what your website might be?
Yeah, it could. Particularly if you have a niche, your niche is one where people would probably use a search engine like Google to go out and find. And once they found your page and saw your expertise in the field, you know, they would be quite comfortable, I think, contacting you and booking a trip. So your market actually is very large. It's much more than just the community that you live in.
That's one of the things that the internet provides for us. Getting back to, you know, how do you get the word out and being a little more specific, I am very involved in the Windsor Chamber of Commerce. I started off as a member, and I tend to be the type of person who moves on from being a member and becoming more involved. It's just how I am. I became a member of being an ambassador team, which is the person that does the meet and the greet and selling raffle tickets and you're going to ribbon cutting, and then became the ambassador chair. See, again, you know, kind of keep getting more involved. You know how it is. And now I'm on the board of directors. As my involvement and time goes on, it's exactly what Barry's saying. People get to know you and like you and trust you. And I'm known as the travel agent, and I've gotten several referrals from fellow business members because they see my name, and my name is kind of what it makes me stand out. Sharp Tongue Consulting, for some bizarre reason, people seem to remember that name, and they also remember the name Laureen. And mm-hmm. My name, like yours, Lucianne, is a little bit different. It's not Mary or John,
uh-huh.
you know.
Uh-huh.
And so it kind of helps you stand out. And what I end up have happen is I will book with a client. They have a really good experience. They go, you know what? My mom wants to go on vacation now. Can you take care of hers? Oh, my friend wants to go on vacation. So once they learn to trust you and that you can take care of them, and that really working with Expedia isn't all that it's all wrapped up to be, they realize that you're, you know, you have their best interest in heart, and that's how you network out. It seems to be what's been working for me.
That's awesome, because that's sort of where I was leading with my next. Well, I have several questions, but my next question would be, what if you are talking to your friend? Say my friend that has already gone on all these jazz cruises. I don't know who he books them with, but he obviously has to go through some travel agent, and I want to tell him, how about me? Or actually, what he really does is go as cheaply as possible and do everything he can himself. And I have to tell him, well, you know, and then what follows, you know? In your opinion, what is that comment? How do you say, well, look, you're giving your money to Expedia anyway? No, you don't say that. You leave it in somehow.
I experience that a lot, especially with men. You know, God love men. They'll spend 6 hours to save $5.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, and it's Barry.
That's all right.
Well, that is sort of a generalization
but it unfortunately it runs true more than you think. And you'll talk to the wife going, you know, my husband just spent 6 hours doing this. Can you help us out?
Yeah.
And what I let people know, and they don't understand this concept. They're trying to be cheap. Well, they don't make their money off of you. They're not paying you.
Yeah.
If you book a cruise, say for example, through a cruise line for a client, they pay either the same price, and they're not spending all their time looking for this. They're getting your service, and you're getting Holland America's commission. That the money is not coming from that person. A perfect example is a lot of times I buy my clothes at Chico's. So the woman who helps me a lot called me and said, my son is going on his honeymoon. He's 24 years old. He knows everything in the entire world. Really, I need you to book this cruise for him. He thinks he knows everything. So I talked to him, looking through the eyes of what it was like to be 24 again, and he already knew which cruise line, what date, and the destination. So I went and I got a quote for him, and he wanted to argue with me over $5. Perfectly fine. I said, look, I let you know, as much time as you have just spent online trying to save $5, let's look over this real quickly. Because I was working through my host agency, he was going to have a $100 room credit that he was not going to have by booking it himself.
Uh-huh.
So that $5 and all the time that he spent will have lost him $95 because
yes.
of the room credit. I also looked at the cabin that he was saving $5 on, and I reminded him, wow, you want a balcony, it's 10 nights, and it's your honeymoon. Yes. Would you please discuss with her that you're losing $95 room credit, save the $5, and please get back to me tomorrow about how she would feel that by saving the $5, you're having obstructed view, so your balcony is really going to be looking at a lifeboat for 10 nights. Oh, and he just booked it right then. So
That's
it really
great.
Has to do with your coming in with your expertise, their saving time. People really think, oh, my God, I'm going to be paying a travel agent per hour to find me the perfect cruise or whatever, when the truth is you'll probably get a better deal.
Yes.
You know, you typically, when you have a host agent, like I do, Nexion's my host agent, a lot of times they have cabins that are already booked as a group. It'll get them a bottle of wine, or you'll be able to get them a room credit, something that is a little special, or the very worst, they're paying exactly the same amount But you're dealing with Holland America or NCL or Carnival, and they don't have to. They just get to go.
Yeah.
That's where the big difference comes from. People are afraid they're paying you for your services, and they really don't understand. They're going to pay the same amount to Holland America whether you earn the commission or not. And this is your livelihood.
Right, right, exactly. So, when okay, here's the next question. I guess this one would go out to Barry. When somebody calls in terms of an independent, do you say, how can I help you? How many will be, what's your first question? How many will be traveling?
Well, my first questions would be typically just to engage them in a conversation and ask them what interest they have in traveling and where they've been, make it more of a conversational type of thing. But in reality, what you're doing is you're qualifying them and you're learning a little bit about what they like and what they don't like. And you need to design the conversation to glean out those pieces of information. And then you can start getting into, you know, more of focusing on the sale. And also another thing that conversation does, it helps them develop a trust in you. And, you know, you really want to think about this conversation that you're going to have, and maybe even write down some notes and practice it with people, because that is very important. That you need to make friends with them right off the bat. If you start talking to them about the what do you want and how much money you got and how much you're going to spend and that doesn't work too well.
It doesn't usually work The standard questions that I've learned are how many will be traveling, mm-hmm. what's the name of your traveling companion, and when would you like to go on this vacation, and then you begin to pinpoint when they would go. Do you feel that is a good question, though? Do you feel that sometimes they really know when they want to go on vacation, but they don't know where or what to do?
Yeah, usually people have their vacations kind of planned out in terms of the time frame. You know, they're working full time and they've got 2 or 3 weeks or a month maybe that they can take vacations at, and they know what the best times are. Maybe they have kids and they have to do it over a spring break or something. But I would just highly recommend to try to get all that information more in a conversational style, and then when you get that information, then start focusing in on some of the more of the detail, like how much do you plan on spending, and you know, that type of thing.
Oh, sure. But do you think that sometimes that is true? So you're saying it is true that people usually know when they want to go, and sometimes that can be an icebreaker?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That would be a good icebreaker.
Okay.
And, you could do something like, well,
when you are, you know, let's say, for example, you don't know this person at all, okay? You're just having someone call you because you're listed as the travel agent in the area. And that's what Barry's talking about, is how to engage them in a conversation, because it's different than somebody who knows you. You already have that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things to ask is, have you been on a cruise before?
Yes.
That's
one of the questions, yeah. Probably before that, do you think it's tell me about your two most recent trips?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good...
You think so?
Yeah, that's a good icebreaker. And, mm-hmm. you know, when do you plan on traveling? That can be used as an icebreaker, too.
And also, then, tell me anything you liked particularly about the trip. And
yep.
Was there anything you didn't particularly like about the trip?
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you do? You know, just kind of talk to them like that they're a friend. Mm-hmm. What did you love about your last trip?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Tell me what you really didn't like about your last trip.
Yeah.
You don't even go there. You know, and that's how I treat customers. You know what? You know, and my voice gets all excited. Remember, you need to get the passion in your voice, because if you're home-based, right, you're an independent, you're not sitting at a desk where they're seeing your facial experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be in your voice. And
mm-hmm.
anybody who's ever talked to me knows I get really passionate about things, and things come out in my voice. Tell me what you want. Oh, and connect it to something that you're familiar with. Oh, Hawaii. I love Hawaii. Where did you go? What did you do? What did you like? Ooh, did you ever do this? You engage them to be able to find out, you know, are you an Alaska person? Mm-hmm. What ports did you like? You know, what have you seen, or where do you want to go? Did you want to do a land portion in that and be able to get excited about it? Oh, you know, going on a cruise to Alaska is very nice. Have you ever seen anything other than just the port town?
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
how many people actually never cruised before? Did they call up specifically knowing and wanting because because it's such a popular commodity, such a popular product, or do you have to sell them on the cruise experience? How often do you have to say, well, let me explain to you what we call the cruise experience?
You know, what I talk about is, I ask them, have you been on a cruise? Have you been a resort on like an all-inclusive? What is it what do you want to do? Vacation is so prime these days. You know, people are having to figure out, am I going to be paying my car insurance, or am I going to plan for a cruise for next year? I mean, we're at that level as a society right now. And what I remind people of, especially if they're looking to save money, because that's kind of, you need to get into that gray area at some point, is to be able to find out, you know, are they an economy person, a moderate person, a luxury? Wouldn't that be nice?
Right. But that would be one of the questions, actually. How long do you and such and such have for this vacation? What category of travel arrangements do you prefer? But that's a little formal.
Exactly. How to mix it up a little bit, get passionate, and, you know, kind of get to know them. I want to talk about this. I said, okay, so you've been at resorts. What is it you like about resorts? Okay. Have you been on a cruise? And people go, no, I don't know about cruises. One of the things that people love about cruises, and if they've never been on one, they're not going to know this, is the unpacked one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to Europe, you're in a different country every day. Or, you know, even if you just go to Alaska or, you know, down the coast and to the Caribbean or, you know, the Mexican Riviera, you just unpack once. Somebody comes and they make up your bed for you and clean your bathroom. What a concept that is. Did you know that you can have in-room dining at no extra charge? What? Yeah, you can fill out every morning. You know, I want to have coffee at 7 a.m. with bagel. What?
Yeah.
And there's no charge for that. Really? You know? So a lot of people are naive about cruising. I usually end up selling a cruise. Why? Because it's an area I'm familiar with and I can talk to them about it. They're not afraid. You know, when you're comfortable with an area, if you're comfortable selling all-inclusive resorts, that passion is going to come out. If you're comfortable about talking about cruises, oh, man, good luck with trick questions because you'll be able to answer them.
Right. And in your experience, one more question, then. Yes, right. Barry, do people really like to talk about relaxing, or do they like to talk about adventure?
Well, it depends on the person, and that's one of the things that you want to try to find out when you engage them in conversation, is there's different styles of people, as your question implies. For instance, my style would be somewhat of a more relaxing vacation where you just go kind of sit on the beach and read a book, but there are other people whose styles would be, you know, they got to be out every minute shopping or going to casinos or being on a cruise ship and going to casinos. Maybe they're gamblers. It's good to engage them in the conversation and work it in so that you can differentiate the kind of travel that they prefer, whether it's the adventure, relaxing, maybe soft adventure. You know, there's different types of adventure travel.
Mm-hmm. What do you say to them whenever they do say they want to relax? If you're selling, if you know what they want, if say they want a cruise.
Well, then, you know, you might talk about a particular cruise line that they may be interested in, determine that, and you might talk about some of the spa packages, the pools, and what's available for them, some of the areas that might be available on the ship where they can get away from kids, if there's a lot of kids on that particular cruise line, you know, that type of thing.
Have you ever had someone that just had a total misconception about cruising, that they thought that it would be just go, go, go all the time?
Yeah, I think there is a misconception out there, because it's the way it used to be. Cruises used to be a lot more formal than what they are now, and I think people still have that misconception. Lorraine probably would be a better one to answer that one, but that's my perception, is people still believe that it's a formal operation.
Or a formal,
Ooh, sorry, those are for those uptight people. Those are, you know, the old stereotype, if you're wet or dead, you know, extremely young and on honeymoon or not. And it gets back to qualifying the customer. And what are they interested in? This company has the stereotype for this, but the stereotype really is because the behavior is repeated again and again and again. Carnival Cruise Line is known as the party boat. Sorry.
Yes.
You know, it's a party boat. The several times that we've been on a Carnival Cruise Line, they will have over the PA system bingo. All right? They're really into bingo. They're really into the, you know, being able to do things, to party. The entertainment is, you know, more dancing and loud music and all this other stuff. While the other example with Holland America, I have never, ever on Holland America, or actually Celebrity either, seen a tray in the hallway. On
Carnival
Cruise, you know, you'd walk down and there would be people's food trays sitting on the floor. So there's stereotypes, but you have to qualify your customer. Do you want to send your 80-year-old client who's not going with their grandchildren on a Carnival Cruise Line? They may have a blast, but is that the type of environment they're used to being around? Or, you know, like Barry's saying, he might have a little more, you know, quiet time. And I mean, all these programs, just so you know, all cruise lines have kids programs. They do. Holland America has HAL Club. You know, everybody has kids programs. It just depends on what the client wants. Do they want the nightly loud entertainment? If they're good with that, hey, go for it. Holland America and Carnival are all owned by the same company. They just serve different clientele. Holland America and Princess are owned by Carnival Cruise Line.
Okay.
All the money goes into the same place, so it just depends on what the client is looking for. What kind of environment are they going to be comfortable in?
Well, I sure have learned an awful lot from your podcast, and I could talk about it endlessly. Some of the things, the niche things that you talk about, the river cruises and all those, even lines that I never heard of, and an MC recently. Oh, it sounded great.
Yeah. The one I am going a week from today. Wow. Yes, a week from today, I will be on an MSC cruise line, so one of our future topics coming up will be me talking about it.
I love that show. I thought it sounded fantastic, so thank you for all the different topics that you cover. And I can't wait to get into the market, and so the only other thing I don't know about enough.
Okay.
So what is the best software, then? Do you think it, and is it Amadeus, or is it that mythological being that AAA uses? I forget which god it is. It's based on the name of a god. Starts with a G.
Galileo?
Anyway, which one do you think is the best one, and does an independent have to get that kind of software, or can your host agency pretty much hook you up with those things?
Well, I think, you know, a new agent, a new home-based agent, shouldn't go out and spend a lot of money for a GDS system, which is, you know, the booking software that it's actually fairly expensive. I don't know what the price is, but I would say depend on your host agency initially to provide you with the login accounts to the various cruise lines, and you can do anything you need to on the cruise line accounts, and provide you with the logins to the various vacation companies like GoGo or Apple Vacations and that type of thing. I think you can take care of business for a while at least using those types of software. Maureen, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I've been an agent for over 3 years now, which was a rude awakening when Jackie Friedman emailed me saying, congratulations, you've been with us for 3 years now in the middle of the summer. I went, wow, time passes quickly. But that's one of the things about having a host agent. You know, I know Jackie. I've met her at our conferences, and she's very warming and welcoming. And as long as Nexion has been my host agent, I use ClientBase, okay, which is a database sort of program. And speaking as a Mac person, I do have Parallels running on my computer to run it because, I'm sorry, I'm not buying a PC and converting everything over for one application. But that's the only program that I use. I personally am not using the other programs, GDS or Amadeus or any of those. Even though they are available to me, I need to pay extra per month.
Oh.
So my membership level would go to like $40 a month to use it. Well, you have to get back down to the return on investment. If you're paying $40 a month to use a data input program like that, are you making enough commission to cover that? Well, for me, the only reason I would be using one of those programs is to book air.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the chance of me making $40 in commission on air, okay, airlines don't pay commission anymore.
No.
So I would be using a booking program and paying for it, but not getting any money for the use of it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So personally, speaking for me only, I'm not speaking for the travel agent community, I am not using it. I am not paying to use those kind of programs because 99% of everything else I can do, exactly like Barry is saying, I have an IATA number, Nexion's my host agent, I just go directly to GoGo because they're one of the preferred providers. I don't go through Amadeus or GDS to book through them.
I see. But that answers a huge question and actually is a huge relief on my mind.
Look at that. I just saved you some money.
Yeah, and some just a lot of thought processes and headaches and things. So, all right.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Lucianne, again, for turning the tables on us. See, Bear, that's what we get sometimes for asking someone to come on the show. They may actually ask this question.
No, that's great.
Barry, how do our listeners reach you?
Well, they can reach me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And Laureen?
My email address is sharptongued at mac.com, and it's spelled sharptongued at mac.com.
And Lucianne.
Thank you again, and we'll all talk soon.
And Lucianne, if people want to get a hold of you and find some of your great music, how would they do that?
Okay, well, they can email me at lucianneevans@bellsouth.net. And that's spelled LucianneEvans at Bell South. Now, for my music, they can get it for free on myspace.com/LucianneEvans, spelled the same way. And for the record that won the top vocal CDs of 2002 in the Jazz Education Journal, they can go to cdbaby.com/Evans Coppola. And so Evans Coppola would be spelled EvansCoppola. Or they can just search it out. And I'll tell you what, the other thing is you can just Google me.
Yeah, great.
And a lot of different things will come up. Very different things about me, certain, most of them all good.
Oh, good.
And don't believe everything you read.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Unfortunately, I'm much less colorful than I appear on Google. No.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lucianne.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you, Lucy Ann. Thank you, Laureen, for a great co-hosted segment. And I do have some news articles coming up here for you. I've got, let's see, I have five news articles here for you, and I want to summarize them. Most of these articles are about trends in 2009, which is not a surprise that at the beginning of the year you have people writing about trends. But I think this is kind of important because you may want to identify some of those trends and try to plug your business into it and make some sales that way. In fact, one of the trends that not really a trend, but one of the things that I talked about in a news article a week or two ago was that Disney, their profits are up. And that's surprising for this time, a downturn in the economy. That's fairly surprising that their profits are up. Speculation is that Disney is a place where people go escape, and they can escape the realities of the economic situation. And they continue to do so despite the economic downturn. People aren't necessarily giving up their travel plans, and I think we'll talk about that here in an upcoming article. But the first article is from the Practical Traveler, and that's in the New York Times. And the article's entitled, Where the Pros Are Heading. And this article talks about where the pro tour operators are hedging their bets and trying to develop destinations that are economic and that people will want to go to even during these economically troubled times. And they are betting on some popular places like Europe, Mexico, and the Galapagos. And they're also kind of hedging their bets, too, with some itineraries close to home and adding vacations that focus on the eastern seaboard of the United States, California, and British Columbia. And they have tours in these areas, and these tours are starting at prices ranging from $1,899 to $3,299. And the article talks about Globus Brands, and we've had representatives here on the show to interview about the Globus Brands. And Globus is offering some getaway vacations in North America, including a 7-day driving vacation through Charleston and Savannah, starting at $529 a person. They also have a 10-day getaway to Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C., starting from $1,689. And Globus is great. They do work with travel agents, so if you have clients that are looking to stay close to home but to have an enjoyable vacation, you might want to go through Globus Brands. And Globus is also banking on Europe's popularity. We'll get that out. I'm getting tongue-tied. And the Globus brand has added some new ships to their Avalon Waterways River Cruise brand. And they are, introducing two new ships in Europe and five new European itineraries. And they range from 8 to 23 days, cruising from Frankfurt to Prague, or Paris to Amsterdam, or Amsterdam to Bucharest. And the prices for those trips range from $1,709 to $6,729 a person. Now, the article goes on to say that Globus is also betting on religious travel in 2009 by adding to its faith-based journeys with a new 10-day trip to Israel, and that starts at $2,099 a person. And they also have an 8-day trip to the Vatican, Assisi, and southern Italy, all at about $2,000 a person. So they say that the faith-based travel seems to be somewhat recession-proof. So we'll leave the rest of that article up to you to look at. A link to the article will be in the show notes, and I think you'll find this article fairly interesting, so click over on the show notes to bring that article up and take a look at it. Now, the next article comes from The Edge, and this is a website from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and it has a subtitle, Your Life with an Edge. Anyhow, this is the first time I've seen this website. It looks kind of interesting, and again, the link to it will be in the show notes. But the article talks about Orbitz, and Orbitz releases 2008 travel trends. And what the article says is that those who want to travel when they can find the bargain should look to the slower travel periods when destinations have fewer crowds. Now last year, and they say last year's 2007, the July 4th week topped the Orbitz list of busiest travel weeks. And Thanksgiving has been historically the busiest travel period of the year, and 2008 was no exception. Now, if you're looking to avoid the long lines at the airport, the slowest travel week of the year is the week of December 29th, coming in as the least busy travel week of 2008. Now, the busiest travel weeks of 2008, again, are Thanksgiving, July 4th, Christmas, Memorial Day, and the third week of March, good old spring break week. And the survey goes on to talk about top holiday weekend destinations. Now, these are weekend destinations, keep in mind. They have another topic here down below that I'll talk about in a minute. It's the top domestic destinations. But here's the top weekend destinations according to Orbitz. And number one is Las Vegas. Number two is New York. Number three is Chicago. Number four is Orlando. Five is San Francisco. Six, Washington, D.C. Seven, Miami. Eight, Los Angeles. Nine, Boston. And 10, Atlanta. Top holiday weekend destinations. Now, the top domestic destinations are, again, number one, Las Vegas. Number two, New York. Three, Chicago. Four, San Francisco. Five, Miami. Six, Los Angeles. Seven, Orlando. Eight, Washington, D.C. Nine, Boston. And 10, Atlanta. Anyhow, interesting article. There's more to that article than what I've summarized here, so check out the link in the show notes. And I guess I only had four articles. So the final article comes from the Columbus Dispatch. And the Columbus Dispatch quotes the TripAdvisor at TripAdvisor.com, and the TripAdvisor has identified the top 10 emerging destinations in the United States. Now that's emerging destinations. And what they identify as those destinations are number one, St. George, Utah. Number two, Englewood, Florida. And I'm going to botch this name, I know it. Number three, Kiaohu, Hawaii. And number four, Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania. Number five, Haines, Alaska. Number six, Bainbridge Island, Washington. And here's number seven, right down the road from where I live, probably about 70 miles from here, is New Buffalo, Michigan, which is right on the lakeshore at Lake Michigan, not too far from the Chicago area. And they just built a big new casino there. So I'm kind of wondering if that has something to do with it. But it's on its own, New Buffalo, Michigan is a real neat place to go and has some pretty nice beaches. And anyhow, moving on, number eight, Pauhau, Hawaii. Number nine, Gurnee, Illinois. Number 10, Ruskin, Florida. And those are the top emerging destinations for 2009. Now, Frommer's, in the same article, has the top 12 domestic and international places to consider in 2009. And that is Cartagena, Colombia, Cape Town, South Africa, Saguaro, Egypt, Washington, D.C., Waterton Lakes National Park, Alberta, Canada, the Civil Rights Trail from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, for those people that are interested in the history. The Lassen Volcano National Park in California, Berlin, Germany, Belfast, Northern Ireland, Istanbul, Turkey, Cambodia, and Waiheke Island, New Zealand. And the Lonely Planet has the top 10 individual destinations for 2009 here in this article. And the Lonely Planet's top 10 are Bay of Fires, Tasmania, Basque Country, France and Spain, Chiloé, Chile, Koh Tao, Thailand, and that's an island in Thailand. Anytime you see the word Koh, K-O-H, attached to a Thai name, that means island, Koh Tao, Thailand, Languedoc, France, Nam Ha, Laos, Big Island, Hawaii, San Andreas, Providencia, Colombia, Svalbard, Norway, and Yunnan, China. And the Lonely Planet has identified the best cities, top 10 best cities to visit in 2009, as chosen by the editors of Lonely Planet, and these are listed alphabetically. So the top 10 best cities: Antwerp, Belgium, Beirut, Lebanon, Chicago, Glasgow, Scotland, Lisbon, Portugal, Mexico City, Sao Paulo, Brazil, Shanghai, China, Warsaw, Poland, and Zurich, Switzerland. And to find the entire article and check it out for these great lists of things that and destinations you may want to consider for your clients, check it out in the show notes at hometravelagent.net or get it in your email. Just sign up for the newsletter and the show notes come in your email box. Well, with that, what I want to do is close out the show today and thank you very much for listening. And if you're subscribing, I want to thank you very much for that. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I hope 2009 brings you health and prosperity. I hope 2009 is a much better year than 2008. Anyhow, focus on the future here and move forward. And I wish everybody a health and happy time and safe travels, everybody. Take care. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll see you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. Places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, I see the chestnut trees and the wishing well. I'm seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay, because I'll always think of you that way. I'll see you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon. I'll be looking at the moon. I'll see you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon. Loving you.